Right, let's review this. I know everyone's familiar with this, but we have to make sure we're all on the same page. And to make sure, yeah, for Amar Rav Chisda, to make sure we all have the questions that I want to focus on. Okay? Amar Rav Chisda. Okay. I'd like you to translate, yeah. That'd be nice.
So Rav Chisda says that if there's interruption between putting on the yad and the shel rosh, you need to go back and make another rakha.
Okay, Rashi, bein tefila l'tefila.
Bein shel yad l'shel rosh, so between the yad and the rosh, the sefer kodem shenia osan al the rosh.
Right, so he talked before he put on his tefillin shel rosh, okay? And I think I mentioned this yesterday, or 2 days ago, when we started this. Everyone's familiar with this halacha. You learn this on like this is like tefillin 101, right? If you interrupt between putting on your yad and rosh, you're supposed to make a bracha on the rosh. I assume everyone here is familiar with that, right? That's like tefillin 101, right? No? Maybe? Okay. I could be wrong. Go on. Tefillin 101. I told you guys. Right? Like, right from the beginning, you always know, if I talk after I put my yad on, I got to make a bracha on the rosh. It's clear from the, and that comes from the Gemara. Okay. Go on, Avi. Okay, now it's interesting. If you look at Rashi, this is the key Rashi. Rashi says, Lahaniach is what? Divishel Yad. Maschil Lahaniach. Okay, so when you're putting on your tefillin shel yad, what are you doing? You're starting hanacha, okay? Now, if the word starting hanacha, what does that sound like is taking place with you're putting on a tefillin then? Very good. It sounds like a process, right? You're starting with, when you put on your tefillin, your obligation to put on tefillin, which we know is a yad and rosh, what are you doing? You start off the hanacha-ing with your yad. Process starts with the yad. It sounds like that's what Rashi's saying. But then he says, mitzvah tefillin. That sounds perfectly like a process. If you stop right now, what you would say is, according to Rashi, the mitzvah tefillin is a process. The process begins with yad and ends with rosh. And rosh is the completion of the mitzvah. Ah, but if that's true, okay, that's true, what's odd then? What's strange, based on what the Gemara is saying? Right. Because if that's true, then why would you need two separate brachas? Okay? At all, ever. Okay? Forget Rashi's scenario of the sach. In general, what you would say is, there'd be no reason to ever make a bracha on tefillin shel rosh at all. And it's clear you can see why Rashi would say, normally speaking, while it's tefillin shel rosh, I'll bring your bracha. There's a process. The bracha, if anything, would be interruption of the process. Yeah. What's the mitzvah d'oraisa? Yeah, but Rashi at this point will be learning it's one mitzvah, it seems like. I'm not explaining anything yet, but it seems like it's one mitzvah. I know the Torah does say, which sounds like two things. One mitzvah. So it's a process. It's a process. Right? Okay. Back to the Gemara. Stop. Okay? So what's the answer? So if you don't interrupt, you do what? Win one bracha. And if you do, you make two. Okay? Now, is that clear? That's as clear as day, right? Rashi holds. What? Yeah. My day. Okay, Rashi holds that normally. Actually, no, I'll take the English. Losach, right, equals one bracha. Right? Sach equals two bracha. So we have Lani, one bracha. Right, so the only time you ever make two brachas, right, would be if you interrupted. Right, is that clear? Okay, now we asked the question right from the beginning. According to Rashi, why is this the bracha? Right? Am I doing a Maisa Hanacha? Am I putting tefillin on my head? Yes. Okay, so you'll argue that the putting your tefillin on yad is a little more complicated, right? But at the end of the day, isn't it a hanacha? Am I not haniach-ing the tefillin on my head? So why do I make an al mitzvahs? Don't answer that yet. Why do I make an al mitzvahs? Why do I do that? Okay?
Interesting question.
I know, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, good.
And the problem is, at least in this instance, seems to be going that direction, right? There can't really be
okay. Let me ask you another question. I handed out these Rambam sheets for a reason. Okay, Rashi and the Rambam paskin the same way. Not a, forget Halacha Lamaisa. Saying from the Mishonim, I think Chayin of the Rambam's there. Oh, okay. Here.
You guys should look in the Sefer Mitzvah yourself.
All right. Avi, look at the Rambam. Mitzvah Saseh in the Sefer Mitzvos. Mitzvah Yud Beis Yud Gimel. So what does he say? Fine. And the Mitzvah Yud Gimel? Perfect. Tzivano. Now let me ask you a question. How many mitzvahs does the Rambam have? Two. Interesting enough, the Rambam also holds, right? What? That's interesting too. It's interesting he does write the Rosh first. Just that sharp point. We will pick up on that later when we get into Tosos Iker idea. Yeah. Oh, okay. Exactly. So that reinforces our question over here, right? One thing it reinforces is that the Rambam holds that if I interrupt between my Yad and Rosh, I make an Al Mitzvah. So why? I'm doing a Lahaniach, right? Okay, good. Let me ask you another question. According to the Rambam, how many mitzvahs are there?
Two.
Okay. And okay, that's true, right? What's odd about the Rambam's position?
If I only had one tefillin,
I'd have one bracha.
Say it again?
Why one bracha?
Why one bracha? There are, the Rambam holds there are two mitzvahs, right? And most Rishonim learn that Rashi and Rambam agree with each other. So according to Rambam, and let's assume for Rashi, how could you say there are two separate mitzvahs? Two separate mitzvahs, okay? But yet, one bracha going on both. What should you say? Right? Okay. Okay, now what's the easy answer for that? What's the easy way out of that problem?
Can you say a bracha and have it in mind not a
mitzvah?
Okay,
careful. So, Oren's right. What you could say, the simple answer would be, well, if I make the bracha of lahaniach tefillin, right, how many tefillins am I being meniach? Two. It's true they're separate mitzvahs, but ultimately, are they not both the same action? What?
Oh,
sure, okay, yeah, exactly.
Those are kind of brisket, so there's a meta mitzvah.
Tosos and brachos samach amabez. This is where he opens up the area. Okay? So the Gemara here says, you make a laniach on yad, and what do you call al mitzvahs on Rosh. Now look at what Toso says. Yeah, you're up. Oh, slow. So, go.
Since he begins the placing on the arm, you make the
bracha on yad. Okay, so again, appreciate what he's saying. He's saying, there's no intrinsic reason why you make laniach on yad versus Rosh. The reason why you make it on laniach on yad is because what's the first thing you're going to do in the order of putting on tefillin? Putting on your arm, right? Again, in other words, remember, like you said before, laniach tefillin, right? It's not laniach al yad, it's laniach tefillin. That being the case, Tosus is pointing out right out of the bat that there's nothing intrinsic in it being on the yad that you make the bracha laniach. It just happens to be, what's the first thing you do? You put on your arm, okay? So being theoretically, it could have been Rosh. Oh, we'll get to that.
Okay.
When we learn about you know the other issue. Okay. So now Tosos automatically is telling us that you always make an al mitzvah stillin on Rosh. And he's also being very nice to us. He's saying, and why wouldn't you make a laniach? Because what have you already done?
You already did it.
Okay. So therefore why would you so it's interesting. Yes, Khalif. Does he? Okay, so let me tell you what you guys are saying, and what you guys are saying is like this. What you're saying is that, well, right in a second, according to Tosfos, right? So the bracha, there's a bracha laniach, and then there's a bracha that the Rosh requires, okay? And all Tosfos is saying is like this. He's saying, in truth, right, you could have made a laniach on the Rosh, but you used up your lahaniach on your yad. So now you got to make some bracha on tefillin shel Rosh. What bracha do you make? Al mitzvahs. In other words, what Tosfos is saying is that each tefillin requires its own bracha. Right? Now, when God first took the tefillin and said, let's work out, whatever, Rabbanan took out tefillin and said, let's work out the brachos, what they said was, okay, well, Well, the aniyah can only work once, so it's going to go on the yad, right? But the tefillin shel rosh requires a bracha. What bracha are you going to have to say on it? Al mitzvahs, because you can't make a bracha aniyah because you already did some type of hanacha. Yeah. Quandary. So, I make laniach on yad. Okay. Now, does the rosh require a bracha regardless of whatever I do to the yad? Okay. So at that point, Tosfos is separating the two out. Right. Seems like they're two separate things altogether. Okay. What? Those, I don't want to say mitzvah yet. Just say treat them separately. They're just separate things. Okay. Now, if they're really separate, right? They're truly separate. Then I can make a laniach on this again. Right? So they can't really be that separate because laniach here is somehow working for this. Well, let me ask you a question. If laniach is working for this, then what do we need a bracha about mitzvahs for?
Right. It's
not that. Now, according to what you're saying, what you're really saying, what you're really saying is that Rosh requires two brachas. Right? So in the okay, that's fascinating. If you want to posit that, okay.
Well, it says that it's the more important thing.
I need a better.
One second, I want to make sure everyone agrees with that. So Yeshua is positing the following. Yeshua wants to posit, I'm not disagreeing with you. Yeshua wants to posit that Tosfos is actually suggesting that in truth, the Tefillin Shel Rosh actually requires two brachas.
Not just the Tefillin Shel Rosh.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
That's what it sounds like.
Okay.
Right.
That's why I underlined it.
It's almost like they're not.
Okay, just fine. Okay, so therefore, I'm not saying I have a problem with that. Okay? But I want to make sure everyone's following that step. It's important to understand that step. Yeah, in other words, Tosfos is saying you make laniach on your tefillin shel yad. Why? Not because there's anything unique. You have to make a laniach on tefillin, right? And what's the first one you put on the yad? Okay. But then he says something funny. He says, tefillin shel rosh definitely requires a bracha. And what bracha are you going to make in it is al mitzvahs. But you won't make laniach because you already made a laniach on the yad, and there's no reason to make another laniach. To say that there's no reason to make another laniach implies, right, that in theory, the rosh would actually require two brachas. Okay? Two brachas. But you don't have to learn that way. Okay, yeah.
This kind of sounds like food. When you have food, you have a bracha. It's kind of somewhat stacked together.
Okay. There's some truth to that. Okay. Okay.
You can do the next
shita,
where I can.
Go on and tell us. I'll show you what the problem with that is soon. Okay. Go on.
Parakumates.
Okay, now Perisha Kuntris, which is Rashi. See how I wrote Rashi over there to point you guys so no one have to ask you what Pehe means, okay? Perisha Kuntris. Belosach main time. Right? Right, so Rashi holds, I make one bracha for both. My one bracha of laniach on my yad is fulfills my obligation on Rosh as well. There's no independent obligation of the tefillin shel Rosh to have its own bracha. Okay? All right, keep going. Remember that? That's the question we've been asking all along. According to Rashi, which someone here is going to have to explain, what kind of idea is it to say that it's only when I interrupt between A and B that generates a bracha? There's no precedent for such a phenomenon in halacha. None. That's what's bothering Tosfos. What are you smiling about? There's no precedent. It doesn't exist anywhere in halacha that I have to do A and B, and if I interrupt between A and B being two separate actions, right, it generates a new bracha. What kind of thing is that? Gemar mitzvah. Gemar. Okay, so it's unbelievable. That's why I underlined that. Tosfos is brazen. He says the tefillin shel rosh, right, is now, you have to be very precise here. It's the completion of the mitzvah, right, and the ikker. Now, what's odd about that? What? Okay, that's one point. That's not normally how it works. Well, it's, in other words, why is it? That's true. Oh, okay, that's a good question. Now, you can argue that the Gemara is going to answer on its own. Ukshatem Osedecha means you put on tefillin shel yad first. But you're right in what you're saying. Yeah.
The Rabbeinu Tam and Tosfos kind of you're like, it's 27 minutes ago, so you're not into Rosh. How can he identify the show?
Rosh is the Gemara Mitzvah.
Right.
That kind of indicates that they're one unit.
It seems that way. Right. Gemara Mitzvah of what? Of one Mitzvah. Yeah. Gemara, right? And but then Iker, and adding the Iker. Yeah, or I'm sorry.
So no, was that Yad?
Right. Exactly. What have we done to the poor Yad? Sounds like it's nothing. And then Tosos explains the reason why. Why? Because I don't care about his reason so much, but he says, because Sfilin Sharosh, the Yeshba, the Shin, right? It's got a special Shin. So the truth is that you could put any reason you want to there for why the Rosh is the Iker. That's where Tosfos, by the way, to respond to your cynicism, that's where he's flailing a little bit. But Tosfos is saying, I got to figure out a way what makes the Rosh more important. It's because it's got four batim. Who cares? So what if it has four batim? That sounds arbitrary. All right. And the Shin, that's okay. 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 We'll try. We'll see if we explain. We'll see if we can explain that down the road. Okay. Okay. But it can't be. But we know this is not true. There has to be some important. There's some serious importance to this film, Shoyad. There has to be. Okay. I think I addressed this to Uri and Mati when they were preparing. Think about this. You've been putting tefillin on for how many years? Okay. How many? Have you ever thought about this issue before? Be honest.
Yes.
Have you really? The relationship between Yad and Rosh?
Yes.
Good. This issue, meaning, is it one mitzvah? Is it two mitzvahs? Is it one ma'isa mitzvah? Is it two actions of mitzvah? You thought about this?
Okay. It just feels like one action
with. Right. Does that work? One action with two components? What does that mean? Seems like there. I mean, Rambam has his two mitzvahs. How do we answer this? How do we figure out? How do we explain the machlokas? What's Rashi's opinion and what's Tosfos' opinion? How do we get to the root of what they're saying? Everyone's saying good, but if you notice what everyone's saying, it's very messy, right? I mean, he's saying they're dependent. He's saying they're discrete. He's saying the dependency is like not really dependency. We don't know what to do, what to make of this Iker business. It's very, very convoluted. It's very convoluted, which is what I expect. No, I don't want brisket turns. That's what I expected. Because understanding the relationship in a clear way is very challenging here, okay? To me, in my opinion, the place to start is as follows. The first question I brought up initially was, in Rashi, what's the idea saying that that there's one bracha on both, right? But if I interrupt in between, then I make an omelet that's filling. That sounds like a very odd idea. What? Then if I didn't talk, I made one bracha. An interruption that is not in line with the bracha tefillin.
Okay.
All right. So talking about a sports game, as an example.
It doesn't have to just be talking, right? If I just, like, I don't know, wait for the show and play basketball 5 minutes and then come back.
Oh, same thing. That's fine. Right. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
We have a little bit of my focus between us. So.
Right. It's not a bad assumption. I know why you're making it, but it's leading to these svaras being very convoluted, which is, and to be honest, I kind of trapped you guys purposely because this is how you're supposed to read the Gemara. Rashi's odd because it seems like what Rashi's saying is that I am chayav to make laniach tefillin, right, and that works for both, right? But when I interrupt, right now it's again the literal reading will be is that now the chiyuv of al mitzvah tefillin comes into existence. Okay, if you learn it that way. Well, I didn't say anything yet. The mistake you're making, I think. Let's see if we agree. I think you're saying it. The problem is like this. If you go down that road and actually think for a second that the interrupting between the two, generates a new bracha, you're going to be lost. There's no way to get out of it. That's very difficult. But what if you say like this? What if you say that all along that Rashi really maintains, let's just give me the floor, okay? I didn't interrupt you. Give me the floor. I'm going to show you the two steps I want to make. Step one is that in truth, right, the Yad and Rosh really do demand their own bracha. They do. Because each one's a separate maisa. There's a maisa putting on tefillin shel Yad, and there's a maisa putting on tefillin shel Rosh. And there are two discrete actions, okay? So in truth, not only are they separate maisas, but they're separate actions, but each one requires its own unique bracha, because it is different putting on its own Jiyan and its own Rosh. What that solves, first and foremost, is that we're not saying when I interrupt between the two that it's not a new bracha. That bracha was there all along. There was just no mechanism for it to be expressed. Okay, that's nifty. But we still have a problem. We're playing like a game here, right? I'll tell you why. Because, and this is what Shu was hinting at, okay? Because you have to understand, and this is the tension existence film. There's no question of two separate actions. But what's the chiyuv? What's the obligation? When Rashi says the aksha of gomer as a mitzvah, right? He's not talking about the maisa. He's not talking about the action. What's he saying? Which is the chiyuv? Okay. There's a chiyuv gavra. Okay. There's a chiyuv on me to be adorned in tefillin. Okay. I guess that's the right word to use. Everyone had little pieces. It's good. Yes. There's one obligation that I must be meniacht in tefillin. I must have tefillin. 1 second. I didn't finish. When I finish, you can ask. You can ask. Is one mitzvah. Okay. There's a chiyuv gavra. The chiyuv is that I must be adorned in tefillin. Okay. Two separate actions, one chiyuv gavra. The chiyuv gavra is what's mitzaref, is what connects together my bracha of Yad to include Rosh. You understand? Not the action, but my independent obligation. Okay? That's Rashi. Okay? I'll answer why Rashi is a separate bracha of mitzvahs in a second, but step one is, it's not that Rashi's saying that the rabbis invented a new bracha when you interrupt. That bracha was there all along. There was always a bracha lurking in the background of Rosh. That always existed. It only is able to manifest itself halachically when there's an interruption. But if there's no interruption, I don't make that bracha. Why? Because there's one chiyav gavra. The chiyav on me to have my tefillin on is what creates the connection between my Yad and Rosh. And that's why there is no room for the al mitzvahs to express itself. Okay, so to put it in 1 second. Last thing. To show you in more geometric terms, okay? This is Maisa 1, this is Maisa 2, okay? Yad, Rosh. And in truth, each one, because they're separate actions, requires its own bracha. So this requires bracha X, and this requires bracha Y. That's for sure the case. What? Yad requires its own bracha? There's Rashi, okay? But the thing is like this. But there's something called Chi of Gavra, okay? Me. Okay? The chiyuv on me to be wearing tefillin is what connects the two together. Okay? So, because this thing, this meanness, right? This meanness, which creates the connection between the two, does not allow for the bracha of Am Mitzvah Tefillin to express itself. The only way for the bracha of Am Mitzvah Tefillin to express itself.
Why would Hefsik have anything to do with whether or not
because now the chiyuv gavra has been separated. Now
separated? What do you mean? I'm so chayiv.
Yeah. What Mordechai is trying to say, but I'm saying better, is like this. In other words, it's very simple. In other words, think about it for a second. Okay, if I asked you right now, when do you define, guys, if I asked you right now, when are you defined as being adorned in tefillin? Okay, when you're a tefillin wearer. Okay, exactly. But think about that. When my Rosh is on, I have my Yad and Rosh on. Now what you can say is, I look at you, and I say, you know what? This person is now someone who is defined as a tefillin wearer.
Can I come in and fix my wearer,
right? But that doesn't discount the fact that there are two separate actions here.
Okay,
If I'm inside the tefillin box, that's my perspective. There are two, the tefillin Yad and the tefillin Rosh are two separate things, right? They're two separate actions, right? But from the perspective of me, right? From my perspective, it's a process that has two steps, okay? And the process is what allows these things to be tied together. If I break the process up, right? If I've broken up the process, then the Al Mitzvah Tefillin pops back into existence. It's right there all along. But it doesn't, right, manifest itself. But there's still two, but from the perspective of the tefillin itself, they're two separate actions, okay? The action of Yad and Rosh. If you don't say that, then you can't say naturally the tefillin to Rosh requires its own bracha. Yes, you can't.